Let us pray. Father, we wait upon you to come to visit your people in your power. And so, Lord, we pray that you would find us open and receptive and teachable, so that your word would not return void, but it will accomplish everything that you purpose. Come now by the power of your Spirit. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I think it's 5 weeks now that we have been in this discourse. It's called the Bread of Life Discourse, or I Am the Bread of Life Discourse. And it shows throughout the weeks new facets of what it means for Jesus to say, I am the bread of life. It all began a number of weeks ago with the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And in that miracle, it's one of seven recorded miracles in John. In that miracle, we see how Jesus provided for a huge crowd, amazing miracle. And then we read at the end of John's gospel that these signs, these miracles, are written not to entertain us or not to feed us physically, but so that we might see that Jesus is the Christ and know him as our Lord. And then the disciples get in the boat and they go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and that's where Jesus announces, I am the bread of life. It's not just that I provide bread, but I am the bread of life. And then he reminds us that the manna in the wilderness was Jesus' grace. It's God's grace provided for the people of Israel, and how he provided it faithfully for 40 years. And they didn't have to ask for it. He just provided it, and he gave it to them. And so all they had to do was go and pick it up. And he says, that's me. That manna, you know, you picked up in the wilderness, that's me. I picked it up. You picked it up, and it was me that you picked up. And then he prays, give us this day our daily bread. So he teaches us how to pray, give us this day our daily bread, our daily grace, that food that sustains us and supplies us and nourishes us. So up until now, the crowd has all the propositions down. They know now, very intellectually, very cerebrally, that Jesus is the bread of life. I mean, it's been pounded in week after week. I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. And so they know it very intellectually. But today, Jesus says to them, in effect, I want you not only to know about this, but I want you to eat of it. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. It's as if Jesus is saying, I bring you to the table, and I set the table, and I put an amazing amount of food on the table, and it's all for you. And it's all because I love you, and I want you to eat of it. It's this great feast. And then he says, simply, now eat. It's almost like a football coach calling the people from the stands down onto the field. You're in the stands. You're watching the game. And it's great to watch the game. It's a very safe place to watch the game. And we're all rooting on our team, the San Antonio Spurs. Boy, that is so dangerous to say, isn't it? We're rooting on our team, but the coach calls us down on the floor to play. It's as if it's not enough just to know about Jesus. He wants us to know him. It's not enough to know the propositional truths. He wants us to get to know him and to experience him. He wants us to lead us beyond the intellectual facts of the case. And he explains that to be a true Christian is in terms of digestion. It's amazing. He says, it's time to move beyond knowing about me to knowing me, and the way to do that is to eat my flesh. And so to eat the flesh of the Son of Man is to partake of his very essence. It's to ingest his life. It's to ingest what it means to know God and to be in relationship with God. It's to allow God to live in us. It's to nourish us and satisfy our deepest longings, our deepest needs, and our deepest searchings. To ingest him means that he gets absorbed into our stomach. And I don't mean to be gross here, but he gets absorbed into our intestines. And that becomes life and strength and the means by which we are in our muscles and our lives begin to really live. He gives us energy by ingesting him. He gives us strength and power. Jesus says this is what it means to be a Christian. That it's not enough just to know that I am the bread of life. That's a good thing, to know he's the bread of life. But it's not enough. He says, I want you to ingest me. Take me into you in such a way that I become your strength and your life. You know, there are two Greek words, three really, but there are two major Greek words that describe life. One is bios, which means our biological life. You know, we live and breathe, and we are able to lift our arms if you're in the pulpit and move them like this. And, you know, it's a biological life that we live. The other is Zoe, which talks more about the quality of life that we're called to live as Christians. Zoe means that it's a quality such that we know that we are living in a new realm. And the Bible calls it the kingdom of God. To live a Zoe life means to live in communion with God, so that we know that he lives in us and we live in him. It's a qualitative difference to know that Jesus is with you and will never leave you or forsake you. That's a fantastic promise, and I believe it. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you know that he will never leave you or forsake you. But it's even a greater promise to know that he comes to live inside of you and through you, such that St. Paul would say in Galatians, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Jesus is the bread is a metaphor for taking in Zoe, the life as life is meant to be lived. Unless you eat my flesh, he says, and drink my blood, you don't really know what life is really all about. It's the abundant life that God has called us to live. Jesus that day is surrounded by people, maybe thousands. Most of them have been fed in their bios by real food and fish that has been multiplied. And so they know what it means to be full, but there's something still lacking in their experience. Otherwise, why would they follow Jesus around the Sea of Galilee and listen to him? And Jesus says to these people who have full bellies, it's more than that. It's a quality of life that I came to give you, and I want to give you. If you will open your life to me, I will come and live in you, and you will live in me. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, Jesus says. And the psalmist says, oh, come and taste and see. Taste and see the Lord. He's good. There are two ways of describing life, bios and zoe, and Paul mentions these when he talks in the fifth chapter of Ephesians. And in the fifth chapter of Ephesians, he says, don't get drunk on wine, bios, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's more than just food that needs to be replenished in your bios. It's zoe that will never go away. It's the love of God that lives in you, and you live in Him. The first bios is Turkish delight. You know what I mean? Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, where Edmund especially is taken with this Turkish delight, and it's the kind of food that once you eat it, you need more to be satisfied, and you can never get enough. You need more and more of this Turkish delight. Compared to the food that Tumnus, the fawn, feeds them, or the beavers who lay out a beautiful spread of food, that's nourishment. That's real food. But it's not just bread that he invites us to eat, the bread of life. It's not just ingesting his life into us and living in eternal life, but it's bread that's broken. And in our liturgy, we're reminded of the words of 1 Corinthians every week when it says that he took bread and he blessed it and then he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, and he said, take and eat this in remembrance of me. He doesn't want us to forget that it's his broken bread, his broken body, that will give us life and will ultimately feed us. His body that was made weak and vulnerable on the cross for our sins. His body that took upon himself the sins of the world so that we could have the hope of reconciliation with our God and the hope of forgiveness of sins and the hope of a new life that Jesus promises and offers us. So that when we receive him and when we ingest him, and we ingest him through the symbol of bread, the metaphor of bread. When we allow God to come into our life, then he comes in to nourish us and to empower us and to strengthen us. He's the sole source, the only source of nourishment for Christians. It's the only food and hope that we have as Christians. And so he invites us to come to the table. He's set the table before us. And it's a table that's filled with all kinds of nourishment and food and all kinds of great things that he invites us to partake. And then he says to us, now, you've seen me, you've heard me, you're convinced of who I am. Now I want you to eat of what I came to offer you. Zoe, life, life abundant. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.